Jack Vaughn for the Talking Data Podcast. Today we're talking about the recent Brandeis Analytics Symposium. I'm with Ed Burns, and he went to the event. I know, Ed, you were saying that you met some interesting people, heard some interesting sessions, and in one of them particularly, got your attention, and that was Robert Carver of Brandeis, and he had some background in statistics. He's looking at all the things going on with data science, and said that we may be reinventing the wheel or forgetting some of the things we already knew.
That's right. Yeah, he talked in his presentation generally about the idea of where ethics comes into discussions around big data. And one of the main things he talked about was how whenever people start to think about and talk about ethical standards for how we should use big data, they kind of fall back on talking about how do we get started? What kinds of things should we consider? What are the most important things that we need to look at here? But really, that's kind of a distraction, he said, because if you look around the world of statistics and machine learning and things like that, there actually are some pretty well established codes of ethics that have been around for a long time. A lot of what goes on in big data is not really anything new. Maybe the data volumes are new and the specific applications are new, but the statistical methods are nothing new unto themselves. And so people have been thinking about how to do these kinds of things ethically for a fairly long time. He pointed specifically to codes of ethics from the American Statistical Association, as well as the Association for Computing Machines, and said that for anyone who's actually interested in thinking about doing things with big data in an ethical manner, you don't really need to reinvent the wheel, like he said. There are some standards out there that people can look to and get a good sense of what's appropriate and what's not. And when you look at these codes of ethics, they aren't really anything that surprising. It all basically just comes down to respect people's privacy and property, and anytime that you're going to use their data in any kind of investigation, try to let them know that their data is going to be used for that purpose. So there really aren't any surprises when you look at those codes of ethics. So it sounded like his thought was that, you know, people who are confused by the idea of big data ethics really just maybe haven't done their homework, and that there are plenty of guidelines out there for them.
There's common sense.
Exactly. Yep.
Don't be a jerk.
That's what it all comes down to, basically, yeah.
And looking at the volume you mentioned, creating, and of course, it can be a case where we have more volume, but the signal-to-noise ratio doesn't get any better.
That's right, yeah. One of the main things that Carver was concerned about in terms of ethical use of big data is just the sheer volume that is used. And like you said, the main problem is that when you start bringing in heaps and heaps of data, it can be a lot harder to tease out the signal in all that data. And so the problem is when it becomes difficult to pull out the signal that you're looking for, you may end up being more likely to pull out spurious correlations or make decisions based on the data that maybe aren't entirely supportable. And so then that can get to a point where it's impacting the individual negatively. If a bank thinks something negative about a customer based on data that maybe doesn't say what they think it does, it could obviously change that person's life in a not so favorable direction. So yeah, he was very concerned about how increasing amounts of data can harm an individual, and on a not so hopeful note, he also talked about how the problem isn't likely to get any better anytime soon, largely because of how persistent data is these days. You know, obviously storage is getting cheaper than ever, and, you know, databases are massive and sprawling, and, you know, businesses just throw things into their data lakes or what have you and forget about them. And but so, yeah, anytime that a business does pull together some kind of analysis that they think says something about a customer, they're likely to hold on to that for a considerable time, whether or not it's actually accurate or valid or even valuable to the business. Mm-hmm.
And we might just be moving from a low-risk area. I think the first big data applications tend to be making recommendations that there's no harm, no foul involved, but we may move to higher risk when we get involved with finances, mortgages, and the kind of things you just mentioned.
That's right, yeah. Carver talked about how there is this spectrum of risk when it comes to use of customer data. And he did seem to think that most of what businesses do with big data is on the lower end of the risk spectrum. You know, like you were talking about, there's a lot of recommendation engines out there. And he even said, you know, what's the harm if Netflix gets a recommendation wrong? There's really not all that much at stake other than just how well the service works. But obviously that's not going to harm any individual. But then somewhere in the middle, he talked about how a lot of colleges today are trying to crunch data from their students to identify individuals who may be at risk for failing and offer some sort of intervention, which can be a valuable service, but it also runs the risk of you know, tagging an individual as failing, and how does that influence their perception of themselves as a student, and you know, what impact will that have on their future performance? It's not necessarily clear, but yeah. Then, like you were saying, at the higher end of the risk spectrum is anything related to financials. He talked about the risk of going back to redlining on home loans, basically shutting out certain groups of people just because the data says that they are maybe not the best credit risk. He also talked about the risks of criminal profiling. Maybe in the aggregate you do get good insights on who is likely to commit crimes, but at the specific level, you might be targeting individuals who had no intention of doing anything wrong, and that's obviously an invasion of a person's rights as an individual. So, yeah, there is definitely a spectrum of risk. Fortunately, it sounded like Carver thinks that most businesses are, at least for right now, staying at the lower end of that spectrum.
Certainly, I think people are looking to find their way through some minefields, sometimes minefields of data. I'd like to thank folks for being with us today on the Talking Data podcast discussing the Brandeis Analytics Symposium. And again, thanks for keeping us company, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you again in the future.